I want to welcome Marie to the studio. Good morning, Marie.
Morning, Aaron. Tamaria Whangaroa.
Okay. Microphone.
Yep, there we go,
microphone
there we go.
In
He's
your face.
He's trying to tell me where to put the microphone. I should know by now. Aaron.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll turn that up.
Here we go. Tune me down because I'm a bit louder.
You're not loud enough because the mic's too far
away. I can
get
pretty loud.
Should we spend the rest of the hour discussing microphone etiquette?
Absolutely. Let's just go for that.
Yeah. Because what happens, if it's too far away, I have to turn the sound up and then it picks up all the sound out in the street and around
close,
the place.
And then I boom or I laugh and I have quite a big out there and so I have to pull away.
So this is what's going on. You feel, right, you're feeling self-conscious.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'll try not to say anything funny, but...
But I always laugh.
There you go. There's your strategy. When you laugh,
I have to laugh in things. I always laugh at things.
But what you did just then is you laughed. You went backwards away from the mic as you laughed.
Yeah, because I've got a big laugh.
So there you go.
And I've heard myself on air, and it's not the most pleasant thing. So
no, it's fine.
Yeah, is everyone listening out? Are we just having a conversation, Aaron? I think that, you know.
Oh, Craig might be listening. Craig might be listening.
Hi, Craig.
Send us a message, Craig, if
oh,
you're listening.
We've got one person in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it hasn't messaged you, so we've got nobody out there.
No, he might have. What's today, Wednesday? I don't know what he's doing, actually.
We've got a big thing
milking
on tonight,
cows.
Haven't we?
We have. We have. Tonight, we've got a party tonight, but that's a private party, so we're not going to talk about it on the radio.
Well, yeah. Oh, okay, sorry. No.
Yeah, we don't want to advertise it because it's not a secret.
Secret
but,
squirrels.
But there's just there's no room for
straight. No room at the inn.
It's full.
It's full.
Anyway.
It's a great thing, though, Aaron.
So we've been trying to figure out what to talk about because we want to talk about the hikoi.
We do.
Marie, I should introduce properly as a counsellor therapist. The hikoi, the thing that came out of it for me is that, I mean, we have a tendency to focus on the negativity and the negative side of it, and that certainly has motivated it. But what we've seen ever since the Treaty Principles Bill was proposed or even been talked about is we've seen a lot of unity amongst Māori in this country.
Mm.
And what my observations of the hikoi is the actual fact there's a lot of unity between Māori and Pākehā, and there's a small proportion of Pākehā who like the idea of the Treaty Principles Bill, and the division. So the division in this country at the moment amongst the general population is not between Pākehā and Māori, it's between most Pākehā and all Māori, and a few Pākehā over on the side who have been kind of fooled by weasel words into thinking that this is a good idea to have a Treaty Principles Bill. Yeah, that's my observation. And there was no... my wife told me yesterday she was reading that the police spent $42,000 on the hikoi.
Wow.
But they weren't needed.
How wonderful.
Yeah. So the vibe, and talking to people who've went into Hamilton, Kirikiriroa, the vibe is just good and real nice place to be. So.
Yeah, I think that takes a lot of organising, Aaron, but I think it's the cloak that sits over this hikoi. And when I say cloak, I mean like the Māori cloak woven in the fabric of who we are. I think we did come together and try and express the heart of Aotearoa in relation to the offence I think they feel in even the suggestion of redesigning parts of our treaty. It's offensive and we don't all get a voice, Aaron. You know, like we hear all the voices out there that are able to get on the airwaves or, you know, and that's what we're hearing and it causes great disturbance in us because our voice is minimal. But yesterday Aotearoa did get a voice, even though it wasn't heard out there as such. Husband's just walked in and now my train of thought
we're wondering what do you want, PJ? He's just coming because it's raining.
Showing me his wounds.
What the heck? Right. So Marie's husband PJ just come in and he's got what's happened to your arm?
Okay, so he ripped lots of skin off his arm and he's had to have it looked at. And I tell you what, the nurse down there was incredible. I must a shout out to one of the nurses. Don't know who it was, but she was amazing.
Put them back together.
Well, she did actually, and she put all the skin back over it and did an incredible job. So there you go. But anyway, we were talking about
this. Is proof that our doors are always open here at the radio station.
And he's my husband. Of course, he's going to take my attention.
Yeah. Well, he's got my attention as soon as I saw the plasters up his arm.
Yeah. You know, it looked pretty bad, and it has been pretty bad. But hey, he's no infection, so that's great. So, yeah, I think, coming together in Wellington, like I say, we didn't have a vocal voice, and the voice was actually quite quiet. You know, it was quite peaceful when you think about it. But a peaceful voice can say a lot, Aaron. You know, that's a lot of people that turned out. There's a lot of people that probably spent a lot of money that they didn't have, because we're not all sitting with good bank accounts at the moment. It's coming into those difficult times of the year.
Yeah, true, actually. Yeah.
The stress of that alone, making the decision to go, actually, this is more important than other things at the moment. And, you know, I know people who have high jobs, you know, good, great jobs working for community who went to that march. I don't know them personally. I've just heard about people who are bosses, you know, running companies, running a business, who left and went to yesterday.
Yeah, people are normally very busy and time pressured.
We forget about this. We forget the cost to each individual and each family when we have to present ourselves to our government like that to say we don't agree, or this has caused a division in us, and how do we work our way through this? You know, I think David Seymour, you know, I'm a person who, my instinct straight away when I heard about this, and you know how I reacted, I did not like what David Seymour did. I mean, you were a bit nervous about me even talking about it on air right at the beginning, because it was just such a hot topic.
Yeah.
You know, and my first knee-jerk reaction was, this is wrong. This is just fundamentally wrong. We don't go and change history. You know, you don't go and change a document. It's like a marriage document. You know, it's a contract between two people.
Yeah.
We don't go, when you get annoyed in your marriage, you know, down the track, and go, well, actually, I want to have a look at that contract. Can we just go and change that third line which said whatever it said?
So
readjust that one.
To be clear, it doesn't change the literal document, but the Treaty Principles Bill is how it's interpreted in law in Parliament. So it is kind of like changing it without changing it.
Well, actually, even there, I think there is an arrogance in us, because, I mean, the reality is history is history. The story is the story. The first treaty was signed by a lot of chiefs because they understood the Māori version. You know, you've got to know your history. Well, it was done overnight into the Pākehā version, presented in the morning in a totally different language than the Māori were used to. And so to me, you know, it's a no-brainer. Come on.
It was the first treaty.
We
do need to revisit the bill, because that was from 1975. And that did pave the way for the Waitangi Tribunal and lots of issues to... A lot of redress, is that what they call it? Lots of wrongs to be righted, and it's happened over the last 50 years. But it does,
because it was deceitful.
But it does, the particular bill that was put in 1975 says to give equal weight to the Pākehā and Māori versions, or the English and Māori versions. Yeah. And they do have their contradictions, and there are kind of expectations in international law about which one you follow, which is the one that where everyone understood the language. And the common language in Aotearoa back then was Māori. It wasn't English.
That's right.
Like all the Europeans who came here learned Māori.
They did.
Yeah, because it was that, you know, there were loads of Māori people here and just a few white people.
Trouble is, we're looking at this through the lens of here and now instead of back then, which we have to recognise the culture back then and the thinking back then. And I think it's amazing thinking. I think the ones who brought this together and brought the treaty into being saved us. You know, it may not have been what we think is right today, but in consideration of what we could have ended up with, it was probably the best thing for Aotearoa. However, we over the time the idea of the treaty was to bring us into coming together by cultures. You know, two cultures coming together and working together. That's what the treaty's all about. But you know, New Zealand Aotearoa has developed over the years. We're multicultural now. There's so many different cultures in New Zealand that, you know, we're a cloak of woven people together. And we have to recognise that within our society now, there's lots of different voices out there, but not take away the foundations of who we are and the origins of Aotearoa. You know, this is our Tūranga Waiwai, our place of standing. If you're born here, this is your home. If you weren't born here, then you have another home that is your home. I mean, sure, you can make your home here, but you have another place that you come from that is your place of standing. We should never want to not acknowledge where we were born, because it is our homeland.
Yeah.
You know, and you can make another place a homeland, but the culture of the day, who we are, remains the same, and we must keep the fabric of our culture, because without it we become this it's a mixture of everything. And then what do you have? Well, then you have somebody's got to rise to the top and lead this mess. And then you have a kind of a pyramid effect. Then you've got somebody who's going to rise up to the top and go, well...
Well, I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah. I have to pick out the word that David Seymour has used, which is, you know, to see us as humankind. We're not even multicultural now. We're just humankind, which is just puts us in one layer, one boring platform of here we are, we're all the same, we're just humankind. Well, you can't do that, because we all come from somewhere and we all hold a culture within ourselves. And if you start to try and tell us we don't, then we're going to get offended because this makes up who we are.
He's very slippery with the use of his words. And the idea that we're all one, that's a nice idea.
Oh, like, kumbaya.
Yeah, well, it just is a nice idea,
let's all
right?
Hold hands and just go kumbaya for a day.
We're all one, and we're all on this planet together. But that's a nice idea. But the reality is that we've got a history, and all these things have happened. And we've got a document. We've got two documents that are founding documents. The other's the Declaration of Independence from 1835.
Yeah, we do. That's right.
So, and you can't just pretend they're not there.
That's right.
Or you can't just create things that reinterpret them.
Yeah, or make it null and void. Doesn't matter anymore.
But this slipperiness, his skill at presenting ideas that seem nice on the surface but haven't really got anything to do with it. You know, the fact that it's kumbaya, we're all one, humankind, that's all nice. I know you see kumbaya sarcastically, now I'm using it genuinely.
I couldn't even see it.
Marie screwing up her face. Like that's all nice, but it's got nothing to do with what this is.
No.
It's a legal document.
Exactly.
Yeah, like a treaty. It's like a legal document from an international point
of view. Marriage, Aaron. A legal document. You have to do something to divorce yourself.
I tend to say it's more like a I'm uncomfortable using marriage as a comparison. More like any legal contract between two parties.
It's a marriage, Aaron.
But the model I like is if you own some land, and I was renting off it,
mm-hmm.
and renting for a long time, and then I came to you and said, "Oh, I've just got a bunch of people here, and we've had a vote, and we're changing the terms of the contract." And you'll be like, "You can't do that. It's a legally binding contract. You can't just because you've got a bunch of people who had a vote, you can't just change it."
And then a mob might come out.
And I might say, well, you can vote too. And you'd be like, but I've got more people, right?
Exactly.
I've got 80% of the people and you've got 20% of the people. Mm. And so we'll have a vote and change the terms of the contract. But that's all meaningless because the contract's the contract. And our whole legal system breaks down and our international legal framework breaks down.
Yeah.
If you can just chop and change things by inventing something like, oh, it's been democratic. Like, it's not about democracy at this point in time. Democracy is important to us, and we have a democratic government, but this is not
democracy.
So these are all side issues that have been brought in to muddy the waters.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's a whole lot of red herrings to me.
And you'll be familiar with that as a counsellor. You'll get family counselling and couples counselling, and they'll all be distracted by side issues, and you've got to, like, I don't know, do you have to wade through them? Do you have to deal with them?
Well, that's what I just wanted to do right then. All of that I would push to the side, because that's not the issue. That's not the main point here. You know, the main point is that there is a group of people wanting to change or adjust a legal document that we've been standing on for generations. Of course we're going to want to say something about that. And like I was saying before, you know, like at the beginning, it was a knee-jerk reaction towards David Seymour.
That I had. Yeah.
But I'm also a person who likes to think about things and look at different why things are happening, why people might be doing what they're doing, and what's really going on here. What's the core? What is the issue? and good old David Seymour, you know, straight away I was kind of like, I don't know about that. I think there is a good point he's made, though, that I think as a society, as a country, we do need to learn how to debate and debate well. I think there's nothing wrong with debating things. I don't think starting off with our treaty was a good place to start. We could have started with something a bit more smaller and more user-friendly to see if we can even do this.
Something to practice, something to warm up with.
You know, this is, you know, this is bicultural. Are we able to come together and discuss this? And I don't actually think that there's anything wrong with that. What I do think is sinister is that he has drawn out that time, so he's got plenty of time to cause upset in our country over this. I heard something, I think it was last night, they're asking for a shorter time for this to be presented and come to a resolution, which I totally agree with. I think it is very cruel what they are doing, and I think that our leader, what's his name?
Prime Minister, what's his name?
Needs to fess up and actually lead. He needs to put a stake in the ground, because, you know, we will lose confidence there. It's one thing to be a good businessman. It's another thing to be a good leader and actually lead your country, you know.
Yeah, well, business people have a lot more dictatorial powers, but as the PM in a coalition government, he has a lot less dictatorial
Unfortunately,
powers.
Unfortunately, you know, he's got some good qualities there. I do believe that. But I think that if you're going to lead in this situation, that you actually have to lead and take the consequences of it.
Well, he keeps saying, every time anyone asks him a question, he keeps saying, it's only going through the first reading, we're not supporting it, it will not get into law. And people are kind of like, well, why did you bother in the first place?
Yeah, it's our taxpayers' money, which, again, is going to cause an ants in us. It's going to cause some kickback, because there's a whole lot of money going into this.
I mean,
that's
money. We talk about the aggro around, but a lot of what's coming out of this is there's an awful lot of unity and an awful lot of... And I think there's clarity coming, because we are all confused about what's in the treaty versus Te Tiriti as well. Or we don't even know what's in the English version, let alone the Māori version. And we don't fully understand the differences. But I think clarity is growing around that.
Yes, so in some ways.
So he may, in the end, even though, like, I believe he's completely self-serving, because, I mean, everyone's talking about him, we're talking about him, and that's what I believe, more than any other politician we've got, that's what he wants.
Except for Muldoon. Muldoon got some coverage back in the day.
Well, he certainly did.
He did.
But where was I going? But he may, in the end, actually have done us a service, because
he's highlighted
that. But the reaction to it has been, like, yesterday's reaction was very measured, right? It wasn't, they weren't storming the steps of Parliament. It was very respectful.
I was there when they did that.
You were there for that.
I was there for that one.
A few years ago. Yeah, that's right. And there is a
totally different atmosphere.
The media is much more on board with this protest.
Yeah. We weren't prepared for COVID.
No.
And honestly, when I think back to who was the Speaker of the House then? The guy that put all the sprinklers on and played the music.
Yeah, he was kind of a little bit childish in a lot of some of
it. Oh, he was an embarrassment. Unfortunately, that
Trevor,
has been Trevor.
Was it
yeah,
Trevor Mallard?
I think it's something.
There are
like
some people saying that the protest was about to wind up and go home, and then he did some stuff.
Yeah, and it just antagonised
everyone.
We trenched in. The trenches were built. So,
masterstroke.
There you go. Bad management.
I want to go back to something I said earlier, which is from your perspective as a counsellor, and I was talking about, you know, if you've got like some family therapy going on or something like that, and everyone's caught up in side issues. And often when we argue with each other, we'll just bring anything in that we think will win us the debate. It might have nothing to do with it. I mean, when you're in that situation, you can see, we need to get rid of these issues and just focus on what's important, but you can't just put them aside, tell people don't talk about that. I know as a counsellor you'll never do that, but so what do you do?
Yeah, so this is too big a situation, Aaron.
I know, I've reduced it to a family, but it's. I think there's principles that from what you do in that situation.
This is like, it's just too big. It's too big to try and overlay it in a family situation not working like a family, Aaron, so I can't even relate to it. It doesn't feel like a family.
Can we just put that aside then and just talk about a family situation anyway? Because I mean, you can see it all clearly, but the processes, and you know why it's different. But for the rest of us, even that, I think, would be a learning.
Well, there's power and control in all family systems.
Yeah.
And that will always remain. It depends on whether that, you know, power and control doesn't have to be nasty words.
Yeah.
They could be leadership and looking after. You know, it depends on how we come to these words, whether they are nourishing for us. Are they feeding into the family? Is the person who is looking after our family nourishing our family, looking after our family? Is there backing our family, you know? So therefore, that person who's leading that family may look like they're quite controlling in how they're leading that family, because they're saying, look, we're going this way, not that way.
Yeah.
But because there's so much aroha there and there's so much care, that family system works, because to others it might look controlling. So I'm trying to think of that group that have long beards, the Elms.
On the US.
They still go around in horse and carts. And
yeah, we know who you mean.
Yeah, they live that lifestyle. Other people would think, oh, that's very controlling. How can you do that? But the love in that family system has worked for a very long time. And if you don't want to be there, you don't have to be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that family system has worked. Now, translate that into a family system where there's control happening, and it's not healthy control. Now we've got the head going, well, we're doing this regardless of what you say. We're not going to discuss it. This is because I hold the wisdom or the wiseness here of how to lead this. You just do what I say, and everything will be okay. So now what we've been ripped off from is even the ability to think for ourselves, to even decide if this is good or not. We just have to do it now. And so that family system is probably going to become more and more unhealthy as the need to control that family continues. And as that family grows, it'll become more and more controlling, because it needs to hang on to the power it has.
It must blow apart, because the kids become adults.
Well, this is it. Eventually that model will destroy itself or come to war on itself. Will implode because the power dynamics within that system, like you say, the kids grow and the power dynamic changes. Biblically, there's an amazing story. King David is an amazing story that shows how family systems can destroy themselves through jealousy and the need for power, or when there's injustice in family. You will find that if that system is not healthy, then it will start to destroy itself. But the same things will happen in this family over here, where they're working together. Well, those problems are still going to happen. It's just that in this family system, there's so much love and there's so much more coming together that they're able to look at things without getting offended which is what David Seymour was wanting. Let's discuss this without getting offended. But within in that a healthy family system, they'd be able to do that and come to a place of mutual agreement. Well, even though I don't agree with that fully, I understand your heart is good. Your heart is right for this. And so we will follow it. But in this, you go back to the unhealthy system and you will get ants, you will get aggravation, you'll get tricky little things happening in the background where there's trying to destroy each other.
The David Seymour reference there reminded me of something which is, it's a little bit silencing.
Mm.
Like you feel really, really angry, but there's these invisible rules we create. Oh, look, you're being angry, you know. You can't behave like
that's
that.
That's it.
You know, you're not, and it's, yeah. and it's.
Exactly, then there's something wrong with you.
And yes, you don't want people to be angry in your face, but also, I know as a counsellor, you'd be like, well, this person is angry. They actually need to express that hurt.
Absolutely. Somehow. Otherwise, that healthy family system that has been built will become unhealthy because of the unheard voice.
And David Seymour, a lot of the stuff he says is trying to exclude anyone, like the young MP who did a haka in Parliament.
He's
been all statesman-like and saying that's unreasonable. And he's trying to silence, and he says the hikoi didn't represent all of New Zealand. He's trying to sideline and silence.
Avoid.
Yeah, he's trying to silence people subtly. And that reminds me of the family dynamics, because I've seen that in families where people get silenced and say, oh, excuse they
can find. And everyone else gets too afraid. Well, not afraid. And it's not about fear. It's about the loss of power to be able to say something, okay? Because you feel powerless.
Mm.
Because there's a lot that goes into somebody having to have a different opinion than another person. You know, we extend a lot of energy when we do that. And if you're not a confident person and you extend energy like that, then the repercussions of that afterwards can be, you can feel quite down, you know, because you've given it, it's like an adrenaline or, you know, you're just over the top, and then you feel quite down after that because you've had to extend a lot of energy to have your voice heard. It hasn't been an easy thing to do. The people like David Seymour don't have that difficulty. Don't go away at night feeling drained.
Well, he's got power, so...
Yeah, so power feeds power. Aaron, so he will continue to be fed by what he's doing, and the smaller voices who feel they can't be heard, that kind of attitude that sits at the front will silence those quieter voices. They will tire them out because they don't have the energy to fight something like that.
Until a new generation comes along.
Well, it's we're only talking about a few people like that.
And a family,
we're talking about this family. So it shuts, if you want to bring it down to that smaller viewpoint so we can look in and see what's happening when you have this kind of leadership, then it's to me, it's a no-brainer. It becomes unhealthy. People become unhealthy. Attitudes start to grow. Annoyances, start to just... It becomes ugly. It's not healthy anymore. So, it's not people wanting to grow and develop out of a place of this is good for us. It may not be the best decision for everybody, but it's good for us. It's a healthy way to go. Right, and making those calls. I don't think, even though I agree we need to learn to debate and look at things in a healthy way, I don't think picking this subject was the place to start. In showing how bicultural we are, because this has separated, but it's also exposed... it's actually exposed the other family, the heart of the other family.
Marie's been talking about, you know, a good model for a family and a not so good model.
Yeah. So if what you saw was exposed yesterday is the heart of the other family. And when I think of it like that, David Seymour probably needs to be a little bit careful here, because once you've got poison in a family, if that doesn't get taken out, it will infiltrate the whole family.
So the thing I'm thinking of, because we talked before about, you know, like just in a family, the kids might grow up and they might just leave and not come back, and that is a kind
Unfortunately, that will go with them though, Aaron.
It's a kind of a resolution, but as a country, you don't do that. You can't. We're all stuck with each other.
Well, we can't
like
hide
it or not.
From
this. So what happens? Are you familiar with families that where things have been quite bad and they've actually been able to resolve it? Because I imagine most families, the resolution comes by people just going away.
There we go. Yeah. I think the resolution
but we can't
comes
do that.
From
so do you know
we
families?
We agree to disagree and we don't have to be together because we can't choose our family. We can choose our friends, but we can't choose our family. So sometimes we can choose to not be around that person. They're still, in my family line, in my heritage, but we may not choose to be around them.
But with the simplified family model, are you familiar with situations where families have been able to resolve that sort of thing? Like, it has to be a commitment from the people with the power to want to do it first and foremost.
I don't think I've ever known a family to come together where there's that kind of disruption in the family system, because the person who's holding the power won't change, Aaron. Or they won't recognise what they're doing, because it's the only way they know how to work.
Maybe that's actually a strength of the democratic system, is that the people holding the power do change.
Absolutely. Well, we need to, because democracy is all about hearing from each other and then coming to a common ground, which is being bicultural, coming together and deciding. And sometimes those decisions not everyone agrees with, but they are more palatable than most decisions we could make right now. And so that we can reconcile ourselves to that. You know what I mean? We can come alongside that kind of thinking if somebody is leading in a healthy way. But unfortunately, I do see, and I'm very cautious when I say it like this too, with David Seymour, but I do see a very white way of thinking, and I don't even understand fully what I'm trying to say there, because I'm white. You know, I'm Pākehā all the way through.
You're a different subculture to David Seymour.
Yeah, but David Seymour, he has cultural beginnings, you know. He has Christianity in his family. He's got Māori in his family. So I've heard.
But not he's a little bit of, like, DNA, but not culturally. Like his culture, he's a white boy nerd, right? He was a nerdy white kid growing up.
Well, lucky him. nerdy white kid, and look where he ended up, eh? And this is what we've got from that.
Yeah, so, but careful how you treat your nerds folks as well.
I don't know.
Don't make them angry.
I think in some ways this is healthy for us. It's healthy because it's showing that we actually can stand together and come together and organise ourselves together. Parliament is just a beehive. It's just a building. Okay, it has no power. And there's only a handful of people in there. It's not a big thing, you know. If we look at it at the scale of what it is.
But if we believe there's power there, then there's power there.
There we go. Just like if we believe this person holds the power in my family because they are the ones sitting at the top, you know. If we believe it, we'll sit under it. As soon as we stop believing it, then you will pop out of that family system and readjust yourself, hopefully in a healthy way, and not do the same mistakes. But you have to see it first. You have to see what's happening in that. Otherwise, you're just part of it. You'll just go along with it because it works. You know, it's working for me. You know, my bank account's good, or I'm doing fine. It's working for me.
Family dynamics is, I don't know if this is relevant, but I know that a lot of people as young adults have to go through a phase where they have to convince their parents to stop directing their lives.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and especially a lot of us know when you become a parent yourself, the rest of the family has a lot of strong opinions about how you're parenting.
Yeah, it's enough now.
And it can take a few years for you to say, we're in charge here, and your opinion's probably not actually even appreciated at this point in time.
It's true though.
Yeah. So that's the powerful person being forced to give up their power because the younger people have come into their own power.
I mean, that sounds like
a phrase you would say, I think.
Well, that's if there's not control there too. You know, if there's control there, then the person who holds the power will not be moving away from that.
Yeah.
They'll just become more and more controlling, which means they will grab on even harder. You know what I mean? Because they're not going to let go because they can feel that they are losing it, losing. So they're gonna hold even harder. So what do we want to learn from this? Healthy family systems. How do we have healthy family systems? Because, from a family system, comes a generational. What happens in our generations as it rolls out? Healthy family systems. Well, you've got to have communication for one, and you've got to have the person who is pretty much leading that family needs to be able to know how to negotiate and hear and listen to opposing opinions without closing up shop and saying, well, no, this is the way it is, regardless.
So you, as the person with the power, you actually, if you want to move into a good family dynamic, you have to probably do your own therapy.
Yeah, you do. Not many people want to do that.
And work out why.
Who wants to give up control? Nobody wants to. I mean, it just don't. I mean,
if you need the control, then it's very hard to give up.
Yeah, and you're not going to want to see it. So it's hard to change that family system. You could work with the whole family dynamics, and all that's going to happen is that they may gather more information and learn how to become stronger in themselves and move away from the destructive way the family is moving, heading in. That's...
But there are people out there who've had the integrity to change themselves.
There are people that... I think for some it can be quite stark. They don't realise what they've been like, that they've been so intimidating to other people. And some people just don't. It's who they are, Aaron. They're not going to change. Our choice to be alongside that or not.
But I was thinking about a comment that you often make about our politicians, that they should all be in counselling as a matter of course, and that should be part of the system. And that's why I was thinking about, we're talking about families with bad dynamics, and there might be a parent who has the personal integrity to confront themselves and change themselves for the better of the family. And it wouldn't it be good if our politicians were like that too?
Wouldn't it be great? It's not about saying, to have a healthy system does not mean you have to change the way that you lead something. It's more probably about the language and how you do it. Some of us don't realise, we're just forward people. Like, we want this done and that done, and I want it done tomorrow. And they're not thinking that, that's a bit much or a bit over the top, or, do you realise how controlling you are? They may not realise these things because they're good people and they're just used to being driven this way. So those people are more likely to adjust than somebody who is driven and they know that they're driven this way. They know, and they're arrogant, and they're not going to change. They simply won't. They like how they are, and it's worked for them for a very long time. So to want to change, it might be a simple thing around language. So instead of saying, no, you can't do that, so how about we try, or what do you think if we, or how would you like it if I, changing the language takes the David Seymour maybe came across a bit more like, I've been thinking about this and I've been wondering about our principles. Personally, that doesn't even make sense to me, because I think we have principles already in the treaty. I'm like, duh. But hey, obviously we don't.
He's a very slippery character, so it's very hard to... that's why I kind of don't like talking about it, because everything he says is pre-planned to have a particular effect.
But he's driven this way, and he knows he's doing it. This is purposeful steps, Aaron. He's purposeful in what he's doing. He's not doing this ab lib. With us just coming up with, having a conversation and talking about it. This guy knows exactly the direction he's going in and why he's doing it and what outcomes he's looking for.
I don't know if he'd admit why he's doing it, but because he's doing it so he can keep a hand on hand. Like, the more we talk about him and we keep talking about him, and the more he places himself in the centre of debate in New Zealand, the more the longer he holds on to the power he's got.
I think we need to talk about it because...
I know, I'm just saying that that's, yeah. for him, that's like that's what
and
I believe
where
his
he
motivation.
Wants to be.
Yeah, yeah.
He loves it. I mean,
so
he,
this is working is, fine.
Yeah, I mean, he's being known all over the world now.
For him, this is working absolutely fine.
Well, he'll be thinking, yeah, because he's not going to take on all of the stresses that we are feeling around this. He'll just ignore them and keep doing what he feels is the right thing to do to get the exposure that he's looking for, to get to the places he wants to be.
And even if no laws are passed that he says he wants to see passed, my point is it's still working fine.
It's still working.
Still working fine for him because he's placed himself in the centre of New Zealand and everyone's talking about him. Yeah.
Absolutely. This guy wants to be known.
Which is why like we talk about him and I want to talk about him and I don't want to talk about him.
I know. I get it. I do get it. But we actually... I think what would be highlighted here is that we saw a healthy family system, so to speak, happen in Wellington yesterday.
With the hikoi,
did. We saw loads and loads of people coming together. We were often told we can't do this and we can't do it well, that we're an aggressive bunch and we need to be kept an eye on.
And that's why we've got to spend $40,000 on police to protect the country from the protesters.
Too emotional and then we can't handle our emotions and we may have an outburst like naughty little kids and disrupt our country. I mean, the whole thing is just, David Seymour thinks that we should be able to sit around the table. Well, he should be able to hear what New Zealand said yesterday, Aotearoa said yesterday, when they walked to Parliament, took their kids out of school, took themselves out of jobs, took them away from the things that they were doing, probably for a few days, cost a lot of money for our beautiful people to do this, come together as a woven cloak and settle over Wellington like that in a peaceful protest, because that's not what he's offered our country. He hasn't offered us peace. He's offered us discord.
Yeah.
And now we have to deal with it. We've got to deal with it.
What signs are we actually dealing with it okay?
I think it's beautiful. I think I love seeing our Māori Queen. I must admit, if I was on the other side with David Seymour, I'd be a little bit concerned about how much power he does think he has, because I think the people will speak, Aaron. Yeah, I think the heart of the people will come forward. And yes, we're going to see aggression at times because you can't hold everyone back. But in reality, just like in families, sometimes you get the ones that are outspoken and want to be heard, But what will settle is more so that, hey, let's learn to be bicultural before we try to be this humankind that he's talking about, which makes us very dull and very on a one platform, all the same. Oh, my gosh, let's not lose our colour and our vibrancy and everything that makes up who we are. Because I don't think humankind to me... It's just across the board. We're just all the same, and we're so not. Look back in biblical times and have a look at the Tower of Babel.
Oh, that's kind of
You might get some answers there about humankind and why we don't always just come together and all think the same, because it's impossible. We are all quite different.
So I want to leave the last words to a different person, and I couldn't find the article before we went on the air, but Te Rawhiti Roa Bosch, who grew up here in Whangaroa and is part of the crew that's organised the hikoi, at my understanding anyway, I've seen his name and he's been regular throughout it, and he was reported on an article on RNZ website just talking about coming through all the towns on the way down and how beautiful it was having Māori supporters and Pākehā supporters and Pacifica supporters, and talked about some little town near Otaki where there was just a single white guy with a suit of armour standing next to him or something, and he was like there paying respects as they came past.
Oh.
He just talked about how beautiful all of that was, and I can't find the article, so I'm paraphrasing the words, but I thought that was the memory.
Whānau.
Yeah.
We can, you know, there is a healthy system out there, and we did see it yesterday. We saw that coming together in a beautiful way. So, yeah, don't believe the lies that we are an aggressive bunch that are going to, you know, going to destroy our country over this, because we're not. We're actually going to come together, be stronger, and maybe our voice will be heard, and maybe we'll get a healthy family leadership out of this, and maybe the unhealthy leadership will be exposed for the poison that it is.
We never know your luck. All right, Marie, thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
All right, folks, that's the end of the show for the day. That was our interview with local counsellor therapist Marie. She does her own show on Fridays at midday. Now we're going to go, and our next DJ and should be Craig with the Over the Fence show around the middle of the day.